Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in his famous treatise, The Babylonian Captivity of the Church, Martin Luther made the bold claim that just as Judah had been taken into captivity into Babylon, so Rome had held the gospel hostage with its rejection of the biblical doctrine of justification. We know that Martin Luther was put on trial for taking such a stand and igniting what we know today as the whole Protestant Reformation. When we study this history, we're amazed that he stood up against those corrupting the truth. We tell our children how wonderful that event was, if we know it. When Luther, with boldness, went and posted those 95 theses to the door in Wittenberg, I wonder if we really are following the same footsteps of such boldness and conviction today. The main thrust of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4 is what we're considering this week. And the main thrust of what is being said to us there is that these sort of dangerous epochs, like the time of the Protestant Reformation when the whole church sat in darkness for years, these dangerous seasons do not go away, but in fact become worse and worse in the life of the church. That means, my friends, that over the last 2,000 years and at the brink of eternity and Christ's return, we are probably facing, and I don't shrug in saying this, that we are probably facing a more distressing or equally distressing time as Luther did. Pretty big claim. Look, every major attack in the history of the church can be summarized in some way, shape, or form on an attack on the authority of the Word and its message. And when you have a setting today where there is absolutely no uniformity on what the church's mission is and what we should be doing, if you take a stand, you will be labeled. What is the message of the Bible? Well, again and again, it is the message that the most effective attack of the devil is on a doctrinal level. When we signed up for Christianity, we promised before the Lord to take a stand for the truth. There's nothing easy about that. The message here today before us, and this is 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 10 and all the way to 4, verse 5. If we were to sum that up, it is you have, as a Christian, you have to engage in a warfare for the truth. And do not be ashamed. Be steadfast in who you are. Continue in what you know is right, because, my friends, the salvation of souls is at stake. It's that serious. Beginning at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and extending through 4:8, there's a complete section here that is bracketed by the central command that Paul has been working toward. He says in verse 1, I charge you, this is chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now, why is Paul so concerned to give this charge to Timothy? Timothy was a young pastor, went with Paul in his many missionary journeys. But early in chapter 1, verse 8, we get a real indication of why the apostle is concerned. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul was concerned about this young pastor. He obviously had a timid spirit, and he's saying, look, I'm in chains, Timothy. I want you to join with me in these sufferings. Paul is burdened by this with Timothy. Ministry is hard. Look, no one likes to get up and offend. No one likes to confront. I mean, but that's what Paul says preaching is designed to do. It's God's way of confronting sin and turning sinners. I mean, think about it, my friends. How many people have you gone up to and confronted about their sin? The fact is, you can become quite unpopular when you do this. Paul was never concerned about Timothy's popularity or even being liked. There's no prescription for that. There's no qualification for the pastor to be liked. All he cared about was that Timothy would be faithful to fulfill his office and be a faithful ambassador of the stewardship he was entrusted with. In fact, back in 1 Timothy 4, he said, if you instruct the brethren in these things, and this is the doctrine, the truth, the Christian faith, the warfare, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Paul's been building to this. From the beginning of 1 Timothy, he charged him because of the prophecies previously made that by them he would wage the good warfare. Now then, in 2 Timothy 4, we come to the core of everything that Paul cared about. He is built and he leaves Timothy and, my friends, you today and all churches of Jesus Christ with their mandate, with their mission, with how the church should move forward and remain faithful. And let me say, I hear so much today, pastors saying, you know, you got to have a mission. You got to have a goal, a mission statement for your church, a vision. Vision is a great word today. And I want to say to these people, are you looking for a vision apart from the Bible? The Bible gives it. The Bible tells you, dear pastor, what your role is, what you should be doing, and exactly how you should be doing it. And the church should care that we honor this mandate from God. So here, Paul's giving it. Here's Paul is charging this pastor. Here it is. I charge you. That in the Greek is a forceful order. It's from God himself. So this is God's directive, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it literally means before the face of or in the presence of. And notice the emphasis on the Jesus, the Son's role in this. I charge you before the face of God and Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. That's no little matter. He says, Christ is soon to be here. Timothy, you're going to have to give an account for your labors. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So this is eternal, my friends. This is eternal. That much is at stake. Not only, Timothy, will you give an account for your labors, and I can put my name in this, not only, Chris Gordon, will you give an account for yours, but others are. And you already know there will be punishment unleashed on unbelievers. The whole import of what he's saying is you are entrusted with the means and the message to deliver sinners from death. That is so weighty. Are you listening and hearing this today? The pastor is entrusted with the means and the message to deliver sinners from death. Not his message, not his antidotes for living, not his ideas. God's message. So this is how serious it is. I charge you, I give you a forceful order from God, before whose face you are, who is soon to be here in judgment, Timothy, to whom you will give an account, preach the word. Be always ready, Timothy. Preach the word in season and out of season, in good times and in bad, and when things are going well and when things are distressing. At every opportunity you have, preach this word that is handed to you from God himself. What is the design of your preaching? This is amazing. God has designed it. Convince literally means reprove. Bring people under conviction. Under conviction of what? Well, sin. I mean, it's the only thing it can be. Conviction of the fact that we've transgressed God's law. And rebuke. What is rebuking? Well, it's addressing the sin so as to bring change. So essentially, he is saying, in your preaching, convict people of their sin. Rebuke it with the goal of drawing out change. So the first two are negative, reprove and rebuke. This is God's design. This is not my choice as a pastor. So the pastor, when he sees sin in the life of the church, God says, I want you to reprove it, and I want you to rebuke it, confront it, call them to repentance. So you need to understand, you may not like the personality of the pastor when he does this. You know, I think everyone's obsessed today with the cult of personality. They're looking for a dynamic man in the pulpit that's going to tickle their ears. But Paul's saying, look, no, no, no. In fact, you're going to be confronted with a personality maybe you don't like. That doesn't matter. Remember, the qualification of the pastor is not to be liked. The thing that God cares about is that the pastor is faithful to this charge, right? This charge, to convince, reprove, rebuke. God loves you enough, if you're a Christian today, to publicly address your sin, to draw out repentance while the world sits in darkness. And the pastor, well, he doesn't have an option. If he thwarts his mandate, if he avoids his calling, he's going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. If he sought to please you with gimmicks, he's going to have to give an account for that. I recognize, my friends, it's a matter of life and death. And yet it's the most ultimate expression of love when you confront, when you reprove, when you rebuke, and when you exhort. That is the idea of exhorting, bringing someone the message of the good news, right? Exhort them to Christ. Show them, don't give them how-tos. Tell them of what Jesus has done to save sinners so that their affections and their minds and their hearts would be set upon Him. And do it ever increasingly, Timothy, with all long-suffering and teaching. You know, this is a glorious calling that the Lord gives to the pastor. Not our design, but His. And what Paul essentially understands and what he's telling Timothy here is that, Timothy, you've been entrusted with the words of life. It's not your words. It's not your ideas. It's not your creativity. It's this word that God has handed to you. This word, and he just says before this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for everything to make the man of God complete. And so, Timothy, preach this. Preach this in season and out of season. And in doing that, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the words of faith. My friends, do you care to have that word preached to you? It is a matter of life and a matter of death.
This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We thank you for joining us. As always, it's a real privilege and a delight spending time with you here in God's Word. If you have questions, comments of any kind, or maybe even a prayer request, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or write to us, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. Or you can visit our website and drop us an email at lindenurc.com. In fact, we have a lot of information there, including directions if you would like to join us for worship. lindenurc.com. Now, if you're writing to us using U.S. Mail, you can do so at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, that also serves as our place of worship. If you'd like to join us, again, you're more than welcome. The offer is always open to you. Call us at 360-318-0429 for directions, or simply, again, go to our website, lindenurc.com, for those directions. And then we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.